Vasudev was very concerned with the welfare of Krishna Balaram. So he arranged for Bhaguri Muni to perform a yajna for their safety and their protection at Govindakund. Srimati Radharani's pet parrot, Sukshmadi, came and reported to her about this yajna. At the time, she was at Radhakund. He collected golden pots and filled them with fresh, pure ghee from their cows to bring them for the yajna. Meanwhile, Krishna's parrot, Vichakshana, reported to Krishna about the gopis' journey to Govindakund. Where we were today, at that place, Krishna, Madhu Mangal, Subal, and other gopas, they dressed themselves up as tax collectors and had nice sticks, and they blocked the way. And Krishna said that on behalf of the emperor, Kandarpa, I have come to collect taxes from anyone who is passing at Govardhan Hill. For each gopi, I want 5 handfuls of diamonds. And then, it's actually a very long discussion. He said, for Srimati Radharani, I am going to tax each beautiful part of your body. Lalita Sakhi, she was, for the pleasure of Krishna, very angry. Said that if you don't let us pass, I'm going to tell your mother, I'm going to tell Jatila, I'm going to tell your father, and I'm going to get you in big trouble. Krishna looked at Lalita and he said, all right, Radharani, I'll let you go for now. You could come back tomorrow and give taxes, but I will keep Lalita Sakhi as a hostage until you come back. There was many words exchanged. And then Nandi Mukhi, one of the favorite gopis of Srimati Radharani, who was an expert mediator, she told Krishna, let me hear everything that's happened. Everything was explained to her. In great happiness, she said, this pastime is so sweet. It is so beautiful. It is so full of loving exchanges that anyone who hears this pastime is going to be liberated. But these girls, they're already getting late for the yajna, and they will lose their reputation if they're not there on time. So let them pass now, and tomorrow they will return and give you the taxes. So Krishna agreed. The next day, Dana Nivartan Kund. Nivartan means return. Dana means tax. The gopis came early. Hundreds of them. They were waiting. But they were hiding. When Krishna returned with his few of his friends, the gopis from behind surrounded them and tied them to trees. Then started chastising them. That we will not let you go until you admit that Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan. And you should pay tax to her. Because every day, your cows are eating her grass. Not only that, but you and all your friends and cows are trampling her grasses. Krishna, with folded hands, begged forgiveness and then bowed his head at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and accepted that she is Vrindavaneshwari, the queen of Vrindavan. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Ki. Then we come to the Anakuta Kshetra. This is from Dhananivartan Kund to Aniyor. Our acharyas tell us that in this tract of land, which is about 2 kilometers or more, that is where all the offerings were made. What was supposed to be for Lord Indra. That Krishna ever increased in enthusiasm as an offering to Govardhan Hill. You can imagine the size of that offering. We had a couple hundred devotees today. Is there any count of how many devotees all together in shifts? There was a couple hundred devotees cooking yesterday, today, and we filled up that little section of the garden with offerings. But Krishna's Govardhan Puja, it's kilometers and kilometers of vast, huge mountains. That is Anakuta Kshetra. And then we come to the village of Aniyor. When the offering was made, Krishna assumed a gigantic form on Govardhan Hill. And meanwhile, Krishna was standing with all the Vrijavasis. And Krishna bowed down to himself and had everyone bow down to Govardhan. And through this beautiful pastimes, he revealed to the whole world that he was non-different than Govardhan Hill. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains how when Govardhan accepted the offerings, he had thousands of hands. And they were going everywhere. And they were just taking all the offerings, putting them in his mouth, eating them. And it was so exciting, devotees from all parts of Brajbhumi were making offerings. He explains, even in Nandagram, some Vrijavasis made an offering there, and Giriraj, with one of his hands, reached over to Nandagram. Ate it. After he ate everything, mountains and lakes of dry and liquid prasad, or bhoga, there was nothing left. And he cried out with a thunderous voice. This form of Krishna is Govardhan Hill. It resounded throughout the 14 worlds. Give me more. The cowherd man said, there's nothing left. You just ate everything we have. But then they offered him a tulsi leaf. And he was satisfied. Patram pushpam palam toyam. And when he was satisfied by his own transcendental powers before everyone's eyes, all the bhoga manifested again right where they offered it as Mahaprasad. Then they had their big feast in the village of Aniyor. We will also pass by Shankarshan Kund, which is in honor of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram manifests himself as Vrindavan Dham, as the original expansion of Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Balaramji, is the servant of the Lord, the original personality of Godhead in the mood of the servant of the Lord. Lord Sri Balaram serves Krishna in every possible way. In Shantaras, he becomes his shoes, his clothes, his jewelry, his bed. He becomes his abode, Vrindavan. He serves him in every menial way, in Dasyaras. In Sakyaras, he's the most intimate cowherd boyfriend of Krishna, playing with him, wrestling with him, herding the cows with him, his dearest best friend. Because he's an older brother, he also loves him in Vatsalyaras, as his protector, with parental affection. And he expands himself as Ananga Manjari, Srimati Radharani's younger sister, to serve the Lord in Madhurya Ras. In every way, Lord Balaramji is engaged in facilitating devotional service. And in this material world, Balaram manifests himself as Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Prajumana, Vasudev. Balaram manifests from them Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. He manifests the whole material existence as a service to Lord Krishna. And then he manifests as the Guru. Balaram is the original Guru, to teach all of us how to once again be liberated from material sufferings and engage in the loving service of Lord Krishna. Balarama hoilo nitai. That Lord Balaram appeared as Lord Nityananda, the original spiritual master. And as Lord Nityananda Prabhu, his only will was to assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, to induce the whole world to chant the holy names of Lord Gauranga. There are thousands and thousands of temples of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada installed Radha Shyam Sundar, but the primary deities is Krishna and Balaram. Why? This is something very deep. It's Prabhupada's compassion. Because it is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, by their mercy, that they make Vrindavan Leela accessible to the people of this Kali Yuga. Without approaching Gaur Nitai, it is very, very difficult to understand the Leela of Radha and Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur prayed, without the mercy and the shelter of Nityananda Prabhu, no one can understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna as it is. Gaur Nitai and Krishna Leela is Krishna Balaram. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish this fact. Through the grace of Gaur Nitai, Krishna Balaram, one can enter into the Leela of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So we will pass Shankarshan Kund and we will pray for the mercy of Sri Balaram at that place. Just close to Shankarshan Kund is Gauri Kund. There's a wonderful story that hearing complaints of
Radharani and Krishna meeting, Abhimanyu and his mother Jatila decided that they would shift to Mathura. Hare Krishna. Now, who is Abhimanyu? Abhimanyu is the shadow expansion of Krishna. Abhimanyu is an expansion of Krishna himself, who plays this antagonistic role only to increase the special ras or special experience of the love between Radha and Krishna. So Abhimanyu decided, we will move to Mathura. That way Krishna cannot disturb Srimati Radharani. So he told this to Purnamasi, who was like Shiksha Guru for all of the residents of Vrindavan. And she said, no, you should not go to Mathura. She said, these stories of Radha and Krishna meeting, they are all rumors. So many rumors. Unless you directly catch them together, you have no right to take her to Mathura. Abhimanyu, he said, Chandravali, her husband has become very wealthy because she has been worshipping Gauri at Gauri Kund. Could you also initiate Srimati Radharani to worship Gauri? He said, I will do. So when Sri Radharani was going with her friends to Gauri Kund, Krishna came to meet her. And the news went to Abhimanyu and Jatila. And they came running to that place to catch them directly. When they went into the temple room, Krishna knew they were coming, and he dressed himself up as the deity of Gauri. And Radharani was worshipping him. Jatila and Abhimanyu came running, and, we caught you! And Radharani was standing before deity. And she fell to the ground and offered her obeisances to the deity. Abhimanyu asked, what is she praying? And Krishna, the deity, in the form of Gauri, said, she is praying to deliver you from the devastating destiny that is awaiting you. Abhimanyu got very scared. He said, what are you talking about? What is this destiny? And Gauri said, it is horrible. Your fate is very dark. Well, what is it? What is it? Gauri told Brinda Devi, you tell him. Brinda Devi said, Abhimanyu, the day after tomorrow, Kamsa is going to cut off your head and offer it to Lord Shiva. They were very much afraid. Jatila was weeping, please, Gauri, do something, save my son. And Abhimanyu was saying, save me. He said, no, it is too late. It cannot be reversed. It is your destiny. Impossible. No one can save you. Then Radharani said, please save my beloved. And then Krishna in the form of Gauri said to Srimati Radharani that your love is supreme. For you, any wish you have must be fulfilled. But only one condition will I answer your prayer and save your husband. That you never leave Vrindavan. And Abhimanyu jumped up and said to Gauri, I vow, I promise, she'll never leave Vrindavan.
And then Jatilas was crying, Radharani, you saved your husband. You saved my son. This is one of the many pastimes that took place at Gaurikund. And then we come to Govindakund. Govindakund is the place we discussed the other day where Indra came and offered the Abhishekam to Lord Sri Krishna and coronated him as Govinda, the Indra of all Indras. And Surabhi, she did Abhishek of Krishna, that you are our Indra. And then all the gopas, they performed wonderful ceremony of worship to Lord Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda performed the arti at Govindakund. It was also at Govindakund that Madhavendra Puri, after performing his Govardhan Parikrama, sat chanting the holy names. When a little cowherd boy approached him, that little cowherd boy said, Swamiji, I think that you're very thirsty and hungry. You haven't eaten in a long time. Madhavendra Puri asked, how do you know this? The cowherd boy said, because the village ladies at the well, they have been watching you all day and they see that you have had nothing to eat or drink. In my village, no one goes hungry. Some people beg and we give them food. But some people like you, so humble, they will not beg. I personally come to deliver. I have come with a pot of milk for you. And I'll come back later to collect the pot. Madhavendra Puri said, who are you and where are you coming from? He said, I'm coming from the village, but I'll explain everything another time because I have to go now to milk the cows. The little boy left. Madhavendra Puri drank the milk, washed the pot, and all night long sat under a tree on the banks of Govindakund, chanting the holy names. Just before the dawn, he dozed into a sleep-like state. And that same little cowherd boy appeared. And that little cowherd boy told him, I have been waiting for you in my form of Gopal for a long time. Some time back, my deity form was being worshipped. But when the Pathan soldiers came and attacked this village, the pujari hid me in these bushes. And I'm very hot and very tired and very thirsty and very hungry. And I've been waiting for your love and devotion for a long time. Come and I'll show you where I am. And the little boy took him by the hand and took him to some bushes and said, bring the Brijabasis to cut through these bushes and then put me on a temple on Govardhan Hill and worship me there. Madhavendra Puri woke up and realized that that little boy was Krishna himself. He felt very guilty. Krishna came and I didn't recognize him. I didn't serve him. He began to cry, but then he considered he was given a service. He called the local Brijabasis and they cut through the bushes and there they found, laying in the grass, covered with dirt, Gopal. The deity of the Lord, originally installed by Vajranab about 5,000 years ago, in his form of a 7-year-old child, lifting the Govardhan Hill. So beautiful. They made a little altar on Govardhan and bathed him with 900 buckets of water from Govindakund. And they covered his body with fine oils. Then bathed him again, then covered him again with fine oils. Then they offered him dresses and ornaments. And Madhavendra Puri, he told the Brijavasis that they should perform the same anukuta that Krishna advised the Brijavasis to do long ago. And the whole village came with all their stock of grains and vegetables and fruits and milk products and made mountains and mountains and mountains of bhoga. Madhavendra Puri offered it all to Gopal and then distributed it all. And he just took a little bit of milk himself and took, and then put the deity to rest. It was such a wonderful festival that another village came to Madhavendra Puri. He said, we want to offer everything we have to Gopal. So another anukuta. What we did today, we're from Bombay and Delhi and Belgaum, Kolhapur, Hyderabad, London, America. We just bought a few things, put it together. It's a beautiful act of devotion. It's one of the most wonderful things I've ever seen in my life. Seeing everyone in that kitchen with their eyes red and weeping due to all the cow dung and wood smoke. And it was ecstatic chaos. Hundreds of people in that little area with about 30 or 40 stoves. People were just picking up bricks and making their own stoves and making clay pots and wonderful preparations. Little, around each little stove was a whole team of devotees. Sometimes 5, 6, 10 devotees all, you know, chopping and cutting and stirring and mixing. It's beautiful. If it wasn't for Krishna, all of you would have been fighting like monkeys. I mean, imagine. So hot in there. There wasn't even shade from the sun. Blazing sun. Very hot. And smoke just every direction, there's smoke going in your eyes and in your lungs. And so crowded, everyone's stepping on top of each other, and there's just all these ingredients, everyone's coming in. Limited ingredients, unlimited desire to use them. I mean, every excuse to be fighting with each other. Yes, getting angry with each other. But everyone was smiling. Everyone was completely blissful. It was just ecstatic chaos. And the planning was so primitive. It wasn't like a very sophisticated, strategically planned schedule. At least from my perspective, I couldn't figure out what was going on. It's just all these groups, and where did they come from, and where they're going, and where they're getting the bhoga, and what they're cooking. And they're just, you know, piling up bricks, and getting some cow dung and wood, and no pots, just get a piece of clay and put it on that. And it's wonderful. And there was no fighting. There was no shouting. But I didn't hear any chastisement. I just saw everyone laughing and smiling and working, and more than that, everyone was crying. Now, some of you are thinking, I'm so hard-hearted, why I come to Govardhan and I never cry? Today you cry.
Even I cried.
It was very beautiful. But for Madhavendra Puri, entire villages that lived here would bring all their wealth, everything, clean out the village just for Gopal. What the next day will bring doesn't matter. Whatever grains, whatever milk products, whatever fruits, whatever money, whatever everything, just Anukuta. And they were in ecstasy, giving everything to Gopal. Then the next village, they had a whole, he had a list. Every village of Braj Bhumi wanted to do this. This was the power of Madhavendra Puri's devotional service. Near Anior is the Prakata Stala of Gopal, the actual place where Gopal appeared to Madhavendra Puri. And there's Madhavendra Puri's Baitak, the Bhajan Kutir, where he was sitting when that little cowherd boy came to him and informed him of the location of Gopal. We will be honoring Govinda Kund tomorrow. Then there is Nipakunda. At that time, it was a forest of kadamba trees with very, very big kadamba leaves. And that was a very special place for Krishna to make special leaf cups with his gopas. And they would take their prasad off those leaf cups. And especially when they would be at Dangati, and they would tax gopis for their milk and their butter, and they would go to this kadamba forest and distribute it on these kadamba leaves. And not far from that is Doka Dauji. In this direction is Chandra Sarovar and the Rasa Stali. In Vrindavan, the Sarat Ras Purnima is the day we celebrate Krishna's Rasa Lila in the month of Kartik, the autumn season. But in Krishna's eternal pastimes, the Vasant Rasa Lila, or his springtime Rasa dance, is in Govardhan Hill. And one day, Balaramji was on Govardhan, and he saw over at Chandra Sarovar Krishna dancing with gopis in his Rasa Lila. And he crouched down to watch. And he was so absorbed in seeing the loving affairs of Lord Krishna, so much absorbed in Krishna, that his body, which is white like a spring cloud, became like a monsoon cloud. Balaramji turned dark, like he assumed Krishna's complexion due to his total absorption in seeing Krishna. Then we will come to Apsara Kund. During the Abhishekam of Indra, the Apsaras of the heavenly worlds bathed Krishna in this place. And also it is said that all the 24 of the principal avatars of Lord Sri Krishna are forever performing their pastimes on the banks of Apsara Kund. And sometimes when Krishna would be herding the cows with the gopas, they would come to Apsara Kund and Krishna would manifest his pastimes as his different avatars. Sometimes as Narasingha. There is a Narasingha temple there. Sometimes as he would manifest his Leela of Varahadev, Vamanadev, Matsya, Kurma to the gopas at Apsara Kund. And next to that is Navala Kund. During Krishna's Basant Rasalila. In the ecstatic emotions of love for each other, Radharani and the gopis' bodies would melt in love and fill Apsara Kund. And in reciprocation, Krishna, his body would melt in love to fill Navalakund. Two of the holiest, most sacred parts of Sri Brajabhumi. Navalakund is also the very, very end of Govardhan Hill. It's called Punchri. It is in the form of a peacock, the tail of Sri Giriraj. And there, near Navalakund, we find Punchri Kalota Baba, one of the favorite places for the Brijabasis. There was a cowherd boy named Lota, and he cooked some bhoga for Krishna and Balaram and was waiting. But on that day, he saw Krishna and Balaram on a Krura's chariot being brought to Mathura. Lota said, I cooked for you. Please come and eat my prasad. And Krishna said, I am going now, but I will be back the day after tomorrow. So Lota, he said, well, I am going to be sitting right here until you return. And I will not eat anything, and I will not drink anything. I will be waiting. He's still waiting. You will see Lota Baba sitting very patiently waiting for Krishna to return. The interesting thing that the Brijavasis note is even though he's been waiting for 5,000 years, he's quite fat. Although he doesn't eat or drink anything. Because just in his pure love of meditation and Krishna, he's getting all nourishment. One wonderful lesson that we could learn from Punchri Kalota Baba is the lesson of patience. Rupa Goswami said, surrender is enthusiasm and patience. Krishna tells us, man manabhava madbhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te prati jani priyoshi. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage to me. In this way you will come to me without fail. It is, Krishna says, this is my promise. If we just carry on sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, following these four regulative principles, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to our vows, and sincerely and earnestly trying to develop a proper service attitude, and trying to really deeply absorb ourselves in service to Krishna, in hearing about Krishna, in chanting about Krishna. We have to be sincere. But even if we're very sincere, sometimes it doesn't seem that we're really making that much advancement. We have to be patient. We have to have faith in Krishna's promise and carry on without duplicity in executing the order of Guru and Krishna. and know for sure that we will attain Krishna without fail. It is His promise. Mukunda Dutt, he was told by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you will not see me for 10 million births. And he was ecstatic. Only 10 million births? To see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That's a very small price to just go on doing my devotional service for 10 million births. It is not something cheap. After a few years, 10 years, 30 years, we think, why am I not serving? Why am I not seeing Krishna? Krishna's not so cheap. We should be willing to do it for 10 million births, thinking that that's a small price. And when we have that faith, when we have that sincerity, that's when Krishna will reveal Himself to us. When we understand the value of the mercy of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Yes, Lota Baba has been sitting there for 5,000 years. And you'll see in this deity tomorrow, he's looking down the road, waiting for Krishna. Close to there is the Manikandali cave, one of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate, Raghava Pandit, lived in a cave at Govardhan Hill, near Poncheri. He is Champaklata, Sakhi, in Krishna's Leela. And as Raghava Pandit, he was very, very dear friends with Raghunath Das Goswami. In Bhakti Ratnakar, it explains how he took Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya on the parikrama of all of Brajabhumi. In many of the most intimate details of the glories of Vrindavan Dham are revealed to the world by Sri Raghava Pandit. In our last yatra, many of us went down into those caves. But if all of us try to go into those caves tomorrow, it may take a few days. Close to there is Airavata Kund. His footprint is close by also. When Indra realized that he was very offensive, and he came down to surrender to Krishna, the elephant Airavata brought the sacred celestial waters from the Akash Ganga and stored them there at Airavata Kund to bathe Krishna. Then there is the place of Indra Puja where the 56 offerings of Chapala Bhoga are offered. You will see that. And to the left of the Parikrama Marg that we'll be taking is Surabhi Kund. After Indra sent torrents of rain, thunderbolts, hail, cyclone winds to destroy Vrindavan, and Krishna effortlessly sheltered everyone by holding Govardhan on his left hand, little finger, for 7 days and seven nights, Indra's false ego was crushed. Sometimes we really have to be smashed to become sober. We all have this experience. Material nature, we have the tendency to become infatuated. Infatuated by false pride, infatuated by greed, infatuated by lust, infatuated by anger. And even as devotees, when these things infatuate us, we become very much diverted from the real path of bhakti. And usually we don't even know that we're being diverted. Somehow or other, the mind and the senses become so caught up, it all just, we justify it all. Sometimes we become very offensive to others. But we don't really consider that we're destroying our own spiritual lives. We just get caught up. That's what happened to Indra. He didn't think he was making aparads. He just thought he was doing the right thing. But when we become infatuated by Maya, and when we become diverted from the path of real bhakti, sometimes out of Krishna's mercy, he smashes us. He smashes us so hard. And in that condition, we become very sober. And we're able to see our condition objectively. And we realize, I am in Maya. But now, what to do? I've already done all these regrettable things. Have any of you ever had any experience like this? Getting smashed is Krishna's mercy. Indra was really smashed. His ego was smashed. His reputation was smashed. Everything was smashed. And then what am I going to do? I made the worst offense to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all his devotees, his loving family. He went to Brihaspati, his guru, and said, what can I do? His guru said, you are in big trouble. He said, this is beyond me. You better go to Lord Brahma. Can you imagine Brihaspati saying, you better go to Brahma. This subject, it's above me. It's like a general physician telling you to go to a brain surgeon or a heart surgeon. So he went to Lord Brahma. And what did Brahma do? Chastised him. He said, Indra, you are a fool. You're lusty, you're greedy, and you're proud. And because of that, you made these horrible offenses. You are a fool. He got smashed even more. Then, after getting sufficiently smashed by Krishna, by Brihaspati, and by Brahma, Brahma said, the only way that you can go beyond this aparad is you have to approach a devotee that Krishna loves. And that devotee has to beg for Krishna to forgive you. You should go to Surabhi because Krishna loves the cows. So Indra went to Surabhi, who happened to be his aunt. And in India, auntie, I'm sorry. King of heaven, with Airavata, with all of his tusks and all the gold and armor and jewels. And Surabhi's just a cow, a mother. And Indra fell at her feet, and Brahma appealed to Surabhi also to help him. So they came to Vrindavan. I believe it was on the day of Ekadasi. Krishna was walking. Indra was standing there with folded palms. Now, try to understand what Indra looks like. He's not just, one of the politicians from Delhi. He's the king of heaven. He's effulgent. He's magnificent. He has eyes all over his body. He has jewels and ornaments that are not of this world. And he's standing with folded palms, and Krishna is just a little cowherd boy, and he pays no attention to Indra. Until Surabhi comes to Krishna with motherly love and prays to Lord Krishna that Indra is deeply, sincerely repentant. From his heart of hearts, he is begging forgiveness. Please forgive him. So these are two very important principles that must be followed when we make an aparadha. One is, we can't just go to a dear devotee of the Lord and ask them to on our behalf approach the Lord if we still are not repentant. Like Indra, from the core of our heart, we have to deeply be begging for forgiveness ourselves. But that's not enough. Along with that, we require a beloved devotee of the Lord to appeal on our behalf. And Krishna, at Surabhi Kund, was approached by Surabhi and looked at Indra and forgave him. The same principle of Jagai and Madhai. They were sinners and offenders. When they stood before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his eyes were copper red with anger, and his Sudarshan Chakra was about to destroy them. But it was Nityananda Prabhu who begged Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please forgive them. And their own hearts, Jagai and Madhai, were genuinely begging for forgiveness at that point. But it was Nityananda Prabhu who saved their lives. And similarly in Vrindavan, Kaliya was a very, very offensive snake. His poisons were killing everybody around. He killed the gopas. Krishna had to glance on them to bring them back to life. And then Kaliya tried to kill Krishna with all his power. He tried to squeeze him to death, but he couldn't. He tried to bite him and poison him, but he couldn't. Ultimately, Krishna danced on his hoods and completely crushed his pride. Totally smashed his false pride right in front of his wives. Hare Krishna. And at the beginning, his wives, the Nagapatnis, were praying, Krishna, kill him. Hariho. Because he was so evil. He was such a demon. He was trying to kill God. And so many others. But when they saw that he vomited out all his poison, his pride was smashed, and he was actually becoming humble, then the Nagapatnis came and they prayed to Krishna, please forgive him. Please save him. After all, he's a snake. Snakes by nature are like this. But now, look at him. He's become humble. Forgive him. Give him your mercy. Because Kaliya was repentant, and because the Nagapatnis prayed on his behalf, Krishna gave Kaliya devotional service.
As we pass by Surabhi Kund,
we should also pray for the mercy of the Vaishnavas.
Then we will come by Rudra Kund, where Lord Shiva meditated at Govardhan Hill and, absorbed in the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, filled that kund with his tears. Jatipur.
You'll be happy to hear this part. It is in Jatipur that you will get both breakfast and lunch together. We're going to begin the parikrama at 7 o'clock in the morning. And it will take several hours to get to Jatipur. So any prasad that you need before that, I believe they're going to announce, you have to arrange yourself. Bring something or eat something before, whatever. But there will be breakfast, lunch combined at Jatipur. And we expect everyone will be satisfied to their full satisfaction. What do you think of the prasad so far? Please know that these devotees, Radha Ballabha Prabhu, Gauranga Prabhu, who else are the leading cooks? Radha Duti Prabhu. This team of devotees cooking for almost 4,000 people every day, three times a day. Belgaum devotees, Kolhapur devotees. Devotees from Wada. While everyone is enjoying the yatra so nicely, they are enjoying the austerity of these smoke-filled kitchens, gigantic pots, and the quality of the prasad is amazing. Let us offer our gratitude to the cooks by loudly chanting Hare. When Madhavendra Puri was worshipping Gopal on Govardhan Hill, he resided in Jatipur. Jatipur means a sannyasi in the renounced order. And it is named after Sri Madhavendra Puri. It was the place where he resided. Also in Jatipur, it is the sitting place of Sri Ballabhacharya, one of the holiest of all holy places in the world, for the Ballabhacharya Sampradaya. The Baitak of Ballabhacharya is there, and I believe Vitalnath, his son, his samadhi is there at Jatipur. And you will see there is a place where the Ballabhacharya Sampradaya accept to be the face of Govardhan. They large quantities of milk are constantly being offered by the devotees. In fact, it's like something that no one from any part of the world could ever imagine. Where in the gutters and the streets, it's filled with fresh, pure cow milk. Hare Krishna. Then we will come to Uddhava Kund. At Kusum Sarovar, Uddhava remains forever as a gulmalata, as a creeper, like a piece of grass in the ground, to get the dust of the feet of the gopis on his head. He performed his tapasya for that purpose at Uddhavakund. And after Krishna left this planet, Vajranava, his great-grandson, brought the queens of Dwarka to Vrindavan. They were all in such separation from Krishna. And Vajranava brought them to this place, Uddhavakund, and told them to do Nam Sankirtan. All the queens, from their heart of hearts, in deep feelings of separation, were crying out Krishna's holy names. Suddenly, Krishna's different associates started manifesting. And out from the ground came this Gumalata, and it manifested Uddhava's form, who was dancing in ecstasy, chanting Krishna's holy names. And after Uddhava started chanting and dancing in kirtan with all the queens of Dwarka, Krishna, Balaram, and the resident Radharani, and all the residents of Vrindavan manifested again, just to give life and to joy to all the devotees. And then they disappeared. That took place at Uddhavakund. Uddhava then, he preached the message of Lord Krishna and discussed the wonderful pastimes of Krishna to the queens of Dwarka at Uddhavakund. Then we will come to Radhakund and Shyamakund. But the problem is, if I continue the way I am, you'll be very tired for the parikrama tomorrow. So I'm going to go very fast, with your permission. We'll discuss Radhakund and Shyamakund another day. And now we've just gone around Radhakund and Shyamakund, and we come to Kusum Sarovar. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is called Sumana Sarovar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed there. On the banks of Kusum Sarovar is Pushpavan, where Sri Radharani and gopis pick flowers to offer to Krishna. And also Ashokvan, where Krishna decorates Radharani's hair. Narada Muni approached Lord Shiva to understand Krishna's Rasa Lila pastimes in Vrindavan. Lord Shiva gave him a mantra and told him to go to Brahmakund to worship Brinda Devi. He did. And Brinda Devi appeared to Narada Muni and told him that he should completely fix his mind on chanting the holy names of Krishna and meditate on Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes and pray to Krishna. So Narada Muni, he came to Narada Kund, where for some time he performed his tapasya. And Brindadevi appeared to him again and told him, you cannot witness the Rasalila in a male form. She took him to the northwest side of Kusum Sarovar and told him to take his bath. When Narada Muni came out of Kusum Sarovar, he had the body of a gopi. His name was Naradi Gopi. And he was allowed to witness the pastimes of Radha and Krishna at Radha Kund. Then Brindadevi took him to another part of Kusum Sarovar where he took a bath and came out as Narada Muni. And then he returned to Narada Kund where he wrote the Narada Bhakti Sutras. There at Kusum Sarovar is the deity of Uddhava that was installed by Vajranab. Uddhava was sent by Krishna from Mathura to Vrindavan to carry a message to the Brijavasis. He remained here about 10 months. And during that time, he witnessed the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And although in Dwarka he is considered to be the most exalted and confidential of all associates of Krishna, he realized that compared to even the least insignificant devotee of Vrindavan, he had no love at all. Now when a materialistic person sees someone having so much more than them, especially what their speciality is, the tendency is to become envious. Just like if you're famous as being a great cook, you usually don't mind if somebody's a really good mechanic. But if somebody's a better cook than you and everyone's praising them, you may become envious. Uddhava is famous for being a great devotee. But when he saw the residents of Vrindavan in separation from Krishna, their love was so deep. He was with Krishna day and night, but he didn't have a trace of love that they have. No, he was not envious. A Vaishnav, when they see someone superior, they want to follow in the footsteps of those people. They want to serve those people. They want to get the dust of the feet of those devotees. And that's what makes a devotee great, that quality. Envy is the basic principle of material existence. But it has absolutely no place in spiritual life. If we see someone being more blessed than ourselves, being more empowered than ourselves, being more recognized than ourselves, able to do things greater than ourselves, if we're materialistically infected, we will become envious. If we're spiritually blessed, we will not become envious. We will want to serve those people. We will want to be blessed by those people. We will want to follow in the footsteps of those people. That quality makes us great. That quality is seen as great by Krishna. Your so-called greatness is not seen as being great by Krishna. If you can speak nicely, or if you can sing nicely, or if you can manage nicely, or if you can influence people nicely, or if you can do particular activities nicely, that is not very impressive to Krishna. It's our consciousness that's impressive to Krishna. If we see the good in others, we're not envious, and we want to serve great people. We want to follow in the footsteps of people who are better than us. That makes us great in the eyes of God. So here is Uddhava, Krishna's own cousin brother. The queens of Dwarka are thinking, no one is dear as him. Yes, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The queens, King Ugrasena, Rukmini, everybody, these are the most confidential associates of Krishna. They all agree Uddhava is most dear. Krishna speaks his mind to him. He asks his advice. He reveals his heart to him so openly. He eats with them. They lay down together and talk. They're almost always together. Therefore, Krishna sent his best devotee of Mathura to send his message to Vrindavan, because it was a serious message. Uddhava's a prince, a royal person, and gopis are churning butter. And they can hardly do that because there's so much crying and separation from Krishna. Uddhava tells Nanda Maharaj, you are so fortunate. You're so absorbed in Krishna. Nanda Maharaj says, I'm not fortunate. What kind of immature child are you to think that I'm fortunate? I had the rarest jewel, and I didn't even know who he was, and I lost him. I'm the most unfortunate. Krishna left. And then when he saw gopis, Radharani would cry, make a puddle of water in the ground, and then fall in it, and the heat of her body was so intense in separation, it would immediately evaporate. Uddhava decided, I want to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. They are great. I am nothing. He was willing to give up his royal post as Krishna's best friend in Dwarka and Mathura, give up his post as Krishna, as a great prince, and he prayed to be a small creeper in Vrindavan. Just a little grass in the ground. That is more exalted than any other situation in the spiritual world, is to be a piece of grass in Vrindavan. Higher than this material existence is Brahma Jyoti. Higher than the Brahma Jyoti is Vaikuntha. Higher than Vaikuntha is Mathura. Higher than Mathura is Dwarka, which is higher than Maheshloka and Ayodhya of the spiritual world. Can you imagine what is Dwarka? What is the exalted position of the devotees there? And the most confidential associate in all of Dwarka, he wants to be a piece of grass in Vrindavan. And he wasn't just talking about it poetically. He actually did it. Just like we can say, oh Prabhu, I want to serve your lotus feet.
And then you say, well, will you do this? We say, well, actually, I didn't mean it. Is there anything I can do for you? Yes, do this. Well, you know, I really want to, but it's not possible. We can talk so many things. I want to be the servant of the servant of the servant. But how serious are we? When Haridas Thakur says, I'll be the insect or the dog outside the house of your devotee so I could get the remnants of your prasad. Now, any of us could say that. But do you really want to be an insect outside the house of a devotee so you can eat the remnants of his food? How many of you would like to do that? Anywhere else you can say that, but we're in Vrindavan, and Govardhan is listening to every word. They really want that. And they're willing to do it. As Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj used to say, we must walk our talk. That means we have to do what we say. We have to live what we speak. Uddhava prayed, I'll give up the highest post in of Dwarka Vaikuntha. Not just Dwarka Vaikuntha. Dwarka is a sector of Goloka Vrindavan. I'm willing to give that up to be a piece of grass in Vrindavan so I can get the dust of the feet of the gopis when they trample on my head. He not only prayed for that, longed for that, cried for that, performed tapasya for that, but to his greatest satisfaction, to his ultimate satisfaction, he was awarded that. Now, for most of us, we may, if you actually become a piece of grass, you think, actually, I didn't mean it, Krishna. No, he wanted it. And when he attained that position of a gulmamata, or gulmalata, a piece of grass in Vrindavan, a little creeper, that was his highest ecstasy. That was his highest perfection. The gopis are going to now step on my head with the dust of their lotus feet. And he's been residing there for 5,000 years as a gulmamata. In fact, he resides here in Brajabhumi eternally in that form. And this is his ultimate goal, his greatest satisfaction. Just to show the world the supreme glory of Vrindavan, the bhakti of Vrindavan, and the residence of Vrindavan. There's a place called Shamvan, just beyond Kusum Sarovar. This place is, there's a story in Srimad Bhagavatam. There, Radharani has a jeweled throne. Called the Ratna Singha. And she sits on that jeweled throne surrounded by the gopis. And Krishna comes there to perform beautiful pastimes. During the full moon night of Falgun, the night of Holi, Krishna and Balaram, along with gopis
were performing beautiful pastimes. The moon was rising. There was a gentle breeze carrying fragrance of malati, malika, flowers. Very, very sweet. The whole atmosphere was intoxicating. Krishna and Balaram began to sing ambrosial nectarine songs for the pleasure of the gopis. And hearing Krishna and Balaram singing together, the gopis were thrilled. Shankachuda was a very powerful demon. He heard this singing, and he could not tolerate seeing these beautiful gopis with Krishna and Balaram. I'd like to give you a little background about Shankachuda. He was an associate of Kuvera, and therefore he gained tremendous wealth. He was very beautiful and extremely powerful, one of the most powerful men in the universe. In fact, he was so powerful, no one could conquer him. And he heard about Kamsa, how Kamsa had arms like 10,000 elephants. Kamsa was conquering all directions. Shankachuda decided he is competition. He must be destroyed. He attacked Kamsa, challenged him to a fight. What a battle that was. They fought on the earth. They fought in the sky. They were throwing each other on the ground and smashing each other with clubs and with swords. They were smashing each other with their fists. They fought bitterly for 27 days. But neither one could get an advantage over the other. Finally, Gargamuni came. They're both demons, but even demons know that you should get blessings from Brahmins, because then you could become a more powerful demon. Gargamuni said, "Why are you wasting your time fighting? 27 days have gone by, you're still fighting. You're equal. You're going to go on fighting the rest of your lives, and neither one could win the other. There's one person who both of you will either kill or be killed by, and that is Krishna." So Shankachuda and Kamsa became allies, so-called friends and allies. Political allies are not always based on loving relationships. They're based on a common interest of exploitation. So Shankachuda, very, very powerful, very wealthy, very handsome. But Srila Prabhupada explains, when someone has all these qualities, they want to be the enjoyer. Krishna says in Gita, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokamaheshwaram. I am the supreme proprietor, I am the supreme enjoyer, and I am the best friend of every living being. But when you think you're the proprietor, when you become intoxicated by wealth, intoxicated by beauty, intoxicated by strength and fame, you want to be the enjoyer. When he saw these beautiful gopis, he couldn't tolerate anyone enjoying them except him. Who is this Krishna and Balaram? What are they doing with these beautiful women? Anything beautiful is mine. So as Krishna and Balaram are singing and the gopis are enjoying in this beautiful moonlit night of the month of Phalgun,
Shankarshuddha just runs into the thing with a stick in hand and forcibly takes the gopis away into the forest. The gopis are crying, Krishna Balaram, save us! Krishna Balaram, save us! This horrible, mighty demon is forcibly taking them away. So Krishna and Balaram both pick up big logs and chase after Shankarshuddha. And when he saw them coming, he became sober, left the gopis behind, and ran away. Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Krishna entrusted Balaram to protect the gopis, and then he ran after Shankarshuddha. He ran and he ran, and he caught Shankarshuddha and punched him in the head. Shankarshuddha was dead. He was known as Shankarshuddha because he had the most valuable, precious jewel that was shaped like a conch shell that he wore on his helmet. Krishna took that jewel from his head and came back and gave it to Lord Balaram. Later on, that would become the Shamantaka jewel, which is a very interesting transcendental story. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Shankarshuddha represents the proneness to name and fame, the desire for sense gratification under the plea of devotion. Also, I believe it is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells a story in Shamvan that Lord Krishna told the gopis that Purnamasi gave him a very special mantra, and he wanted to share that mantra with them, the powers of that mantra. So he called Radharani into Shamvan, and Krishna covered her with black kajal and then put his clothes on her, and he was also wearing his clothes, so she looked exactly identical to him, and had her sit down. Then he called the other gopis in, and Krishna, he made his voice exactly like Srimati Radharani, because ultimately they're one. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Hladini Shakti Asmat. The absolute truth is one, Radha and Krishna. So Krishna with Srimati Radharani's voice told gopis that Krishna made my body black and put my clothes on him. The gopis said, well, which is which? He said, I'm Radharani. You can hear my voice, but I just look like Krishna. And that's Krishna sitting there. And Lalita Sakhi said, well, how did he do this to you? He said, that is a secret. I can't say it in public. It will be too embarrassing. Krishna with Radharani's voice said, each of you come individually and I will explain this secret to you. So each of the gopis came individually, and Krishna revealed, Radharani revealed that she was actually Krishna. Or let us say Krishna with Radharani's voice. And in this way, to satisfy the hearts of each and every one of the Braja gopis, Krishna spent personal time in solitude with them in Shamvan. Then we will pass Gwalpokar. Every day Krishna takes his lunch with the gopis there on the banks of this kund. And there's a beautiful story of how from there, as the gopis are eating prasad, Krishna and Madhu Mangal would go to Surya Kund, where Krishna and Madhu Mangal would play the role of priests
as Sri Radharani and her dearest friends would worship Suryadev. Do you remember we went to Suryakund on Yatra a few years ago? After performing the puja as Dakshina, the gopis would give Manohar ladus and sometimes gold ring to Mother Mangal. And he would wrap it up in a cloth and they would go back to Gwalpokar. Mother Mangal was very much fond of ladus, especially Manohar ladus cooked by Srimati Radharani. So Balaram, back at Gwalpokar, he said, Madhu Mangal, what is that wrapped up in that bundle? That is prasad, ladus. Madhu Mangal said, no, no, it's not. It's for me. It's none of your business. And Balaram would give an indication to the gopas, and one gopa would come from behind Madhu Mangal and put his palms over his eyes so he couldn't see anything. And another, two other gopas would grab both of his arms. And then they would take the bundle of the ladus, distribute them, and then they would open up his eyes, and they would all be eating them in front of him. He would get very angry. And then one other boy, while he was angry, chastising them, another boy pulled out the back part of his dhoti and made it fall to the floor, and another pulled his sika. Madhu Mangal said, I am a Brahmin. I will curse you. I will curse you. And all the gopas headed by Balaramji laughed even louder. Madhu Mangal was very, very upset. He said, I'm going to tell your mothers on you. And he left. And Krishna chased after him and dressed him nicely, put his dhoti back and put his sika back, and said, actually, there's still some ladus left. Come back and let us eat. So he came back and ate ladus with cowherd boys. And then we return to Manasi Ganga, and that completes our very brief parikrama of Sri Govardhan. So tomorrow, please, we want to start by 7 o'clock in the morning. And throughout the parikrama, let us serve each other. Let us absorb ourselves in prayers to Sri Giriraj for pure devotional service. Let us absorb ourselves in remembering these beautiful pastimes. Let us absorb ourselves in constantly chanting the holy names. And let us be especially grateful for this most blessed, rare opportunity to literally follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to literally follow in the footprints of the residents of Vrindavan. What a gift Srila Prabhupada has given us. Prabhupada told us, you're already liberated. You just haven't realized it. Prabhupada's giving us the activities of the Paramahamsas. Govardhan Parikrama. The highest form of worship of the gopis, the gopas, Krishna, Balaram, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the six Goswamis. Prabhupada longed to do it, even in his last days. If only we can open our hearts with humility and gratitude, we can get some little glimpse of the unlimited treasure of good fortune that Srila Prabhupada has blessed us with. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Gau Premanandi. We'll very quickly do Damodar Astakam, and then you can all go to sleep. Hare Krishna. During our Govardhan Parikrama also, please keep prayers for Srila Jaipatak Swami Maharaj in your hearts. My humble request.